So we're coming in to the home stretch of our session here. This for me, and I think the feeling is general, this has been a very, very powerful and strong session. Please, this is a precious gift. It's important not to hold back or to slack in our effort just because we see Sunday coming around the bend. This is the time to do just the opposite, to just turn up the intensity slightly, and to do that not in some kind of crazy, frantic way, but you know the way the marksman aims. He gets that dead eye and just sees that bullseye, very focused, very concentrated, very quiet. So that's what it is. So really, let's put the tremendous energy that's been generated here through a magnifying glass and really bring it to a fine point. I think the great importance of doing this will become clear as we discuss what Dogen is teaching us in Dotoku expression. And as Miyoko Sensei pointed out, this fascicle in particular can be a bit confusing because, many people with outstanding poetic gifts, sometimes Dogen leaves out the transitions. And so what you get is there's this block, and then, oh, well, then why did he start saying this? And then, oh, where did that come from? It's a little hard to see the connections between the pieces, but they are very much there. Not because it's Dogen and he can't be writing silly stuff. Sure, he could be. But it's because if you read the text very carefully, you can see the thread that runs through the various sections. And I think it helps to understand what Dogen is getting at if we know a little bit about his history. Many of us do. Many of us have heard about Dogen over and over again. But I think in particular, his discovery of expression is very relevant to considering this fascicle. And so, as many of us knows, Dogen practiced for about 20 years, both in the Tendai and the Zen school, but wasn't satisfied. And so he risked his life by making the sea voyage to China. And even once he got to China, he had trouble finding a teacher he could connect with. At that time in China, many of the Zen temples and schools introduced elaborate esoteric practices in addition to Zen. But finally, Dogen found a teacher, Ru Jing, of the Soto School in China, who advocated just sitting. Just sit. And Dogen had found the teacher of his heart. And Ru Jing likewise recognized him to be an exceptional young man, although he was just a kid off the boat from the, you know, this barbarian country overseas. And Dogen asked Ru Jing, look, can I, you know, can I come drop by your abbot's quarters and talk to you sometime about the Dharma? And Ru Jing amazingly says, yes, anytime. We shall be as father and son. And so this very close Dharma relationship was formed between an outstanding master and an outstanding student. And as you can imagine, Dogen practiced very hard. And perhaps it was at Rohatsu Sesshin, where they were sitting very, very late into the night, hour after hour after hour of sitting. And the monk next to Dogen was nodding off. And Ru Jing came up behind this monk, hit him on the shoulder with his slipper, and said, Zen is about dropping body and mind. You should not fall asleep. And when he heard that phrase, drop body and mind, Dogen connected with what he had been looking for all his life. And he went to Ru Jing's room, the abbot's room, and offered incense. Very unusual thing to do. Drop by Roshi's cabin, offer incense. And Ru Jing said, what have you seen? And Dogen said, body and mind have dropped away. Ru Jing bowed and approved him and said, the dropped away body and mind. Dogen said, don't approve me so easily. I never said that to a teacher ever. Ru Jing said, I'm not approving you so easily. And Dogen says, why do you say you're not approving me so easily? And Ru Jing said, body and mind have dropped away. And Dogen said, dropping has been dropped. And then he left the room. So in this story of Dogen's awakening, I think we can see the elements that are so important to him in the fascicle Dotoku. It's about expression, and it's about expression, not any old expression like, you know, anything I do is an expression of the Dharma. It's an expression in a very particular sense. For Dogen, in order for there to be an expression, especially in the way he's talking about it here, he talks about it different ways in different fascicles, but in the way he's talking about it here, there has to be an expression or a manifestation of practice. That's one. Second, it has to be based in understanding or realization. That's key. So, you know, you come into the interview room and you do any old thing that looks like Zen, Roshi or any teacher is going to see there, it's not based in your realization. It's not coming from you. It's not an expression. Third, it has to be verified, in this case by a teacher. It has to be verified by someone who's capable of evaluating whether this manifestation of practice is coming from understanding. Or as Miyoko Sensei said, with great insight, it's about relationship. It happens within a relationship. It's not about going up on a mountaintop and having a wonderful mystical experience and then you get it all. It must be verified in relationship, in this particular context, in relationship with a teacher who has had his or her own understanding verified. So when he's talking about expression, he's really talking about something quite particular. And as we know, he talks about Master Sui Feng, who had his own way of expressing the Dharma. And Sui Feng's story was similar to Dogen's, you know, a little bit. Dogen was an orphan. Sui Feng wasn't an orphan, but he was kind of the runt of the litter. He was a diligent student in Tokusan's monastery, but he just couldn't get it. You know, he couldn't get it. He was slow. And younger students kept passing him, receiving the Dharma transmission, and he was toiling away in the kitchen like Cinderella. couldn't get it. But he was the one who eventually became abbot of a large monastery, a monastery of 1,500 monks. And you can imagine what that must have been like, 1,500 monks, the personalities, the squabbles, the petty crimes against the Dharma, making sure the outhouses were tended to, people were fed, fundraising. Life on the Mystic Peak with Sui Feng. In fact, this was his expression, and another master stopped by to visit him, San Sheng, and said, tested his understanding and said, when the golden fish gets out of the net, what does it eat? And Sui Feng said, get out of the net, then I'll tell you. And San Sheng said, what, you're the abbot of this great monastery and you can't even express yourself? And Sui Feng said, my duties as abbot are many. Well, one of his duties among the many, many, many in his busy expression of the Dharma was just this, to verify people's understanding. And one day a monk came to him all out of breath and said, Abbot, I've just run into this hermit at the bottom of the mountain here. He's got this amazing practice all alone in his little hut. And, you know, I asked him what was the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from the West. And he said, the valley is deep. The dipper handle is long. Isn't that amazing? Well, it was time for Sui Feng to do his duty. So he decided to check this hermit out. And he descended the mountain into the valley with his attendant. And the attendant was carrying a razor. Now just imagine that you're the hermit, right? You're the hermit. There's a knock on the door of your simple little hut. You open there's the biggest Zen master from miles around in all his finery, his attendants standing next to him with a straight razor in his hand. And the master says, "If you can express yourself, I won't shave your head." In other words, express yourself. Show me what you got here and now. And fortunately, the hermit was up to the challenge. And he washed his head and offered it to Shay Fung, and Sui Fung shaved his head. Now, what was this about? Well, based on what Sui Fung heard about the hermit, he might have had a wonderful practice going, or he might have had a very precious practice going. As Kaku said, that dipper handle, well, he'd carved it himself, you know, it was his little version of the Dharma. And it was long-handled, and you can kind of look at long-handled two ways. Yes, as Kaku said, it's someone who wants to go very deep into the water of the Dharma. On the other hand, that's also someone who doesn't really like getting their hands dirty. It's got a nice long handle. Not going to get any of that nasty, messy stuff on you. Fortunately, as the story showed, the hermit wasn't like this. He was able to step up to the challenge. Asking him to shave his head was giving him an invitation to take the final step, to really, really, really let go. Well, to let go of what? In a sense, to let go of letting go. To let go of any notion at all that practice is about being in a precious little hut off by yourself where everything is just the way you want it in your individual little Dharma kingdom. It's about, as Dogen says, opening your hands and allowing the Dharma to fill them completely. This is what I believe Dogen is talking about when he talks about the importance of being active, or in the unfortunate translation, activating within the monastery. So in other words, we all know we're in a monastery when the trappings are there, when we're in a little hut, when we're in a place like this where everything has been set up for practice. But when we connect with the true monastery, the monastery of the great Buddha Dharma, which extends in the 10 directions, as Dogen says, whether we're sitting, walking, standing, or lying down, we never leave that monastery. But in order to realize this, we have to do what this hermit did. We have to first have realization. We have to realize the monastery within the context of diligent formal practice. And then we have to shave our head, figuratively speaking, which simply means we have to blow up the walls of the monastery. We have to blow the roof off it. we have to eliminate every limitation or trace that hems us in, every idea we have about what's holy and not holy, what's practice and not practice. We have to get rid of every trace of Zen, in other words. Now, that's a tall order. How do we do that? How do we attain that degree of freedom? Not only freedom from delusions, but freedom from, maybe for some of us, the worst delusion of all, freedom from Dharma. How do we do that? And Dogen's answer is, couldn't be more relevant to the situation we're in now. He says, what kind of invisible path is there between lifetime and monastery? You want to blow up the monastery? Make it about your whole life without limitation? Dogen says, just investigate steadfast sitting. Do not avoid no expression. Do not avoid no expression. It's not working. My mind's too busy. My foot hurts too much. I'm too sleepy. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'll never get this. Do not avoid that. Do not avoid no expression. No expression is expression from beginning to end, Dogen says. And then he says, steadfast sitting without speaking is something Buddha eyes cannot see. Buddha power cannot pull away. And Buddhas cannot question. Well, why is that? Well, because in steadfast sitting, when we take up the Zazen posture, when body and mind drop away, there is no place for those pesky Buddhas to get in. There's nothing outside that. They have no ground to stand on. There's no place where they can find you and haunt you and torment you as if there's some Buddha outside yourself, as if there's some Buddha mind to be realized outside of the mind you have at this very moment. So now we can really begin to see the relevance of Dotoku to our situation, because it's a very funny thing. It seems that body and mind dropping away is not something that happens when we're ready, and that, you know, after years and years and years of practice, like Dogen Zenji put in, we suddenly get to the point where we're good enough and pure enough and hip enough for body and mind to drop away. Now, what Dogen is saying is body and mind drop away as soon as you put your fanny on the cushion and do Zazen. Now, there are differing degrees of realization and expression. The realization of someone who's of 1 year is the realization of 1 year. The realization of 10 and 30 years is the realization of 10 and 30 years. The expressions are likewise going to be dictated by causes and conditions. But body and mind dropped away as the reality of the present moment realized in our zazen. So, that's what we're doing. That's what's going on right now. Don't have to look for it. Don't have to wait for it to happen. It's happening. It's happening, baby. That's why it is so important not to get into the mindset of, oh, okay, well, this was pretty good, but I didn't get it this time. I'm gonna go check and see how the Yankees are doing. Don't get into that mindset. It's happening now. Body and mind are dropping away right now. And then once body and mind drop away, just like with Dogen and his dropping has been dropped, our problems are just beginning. Because then we have to express dropped away body and mind. And because we're not monks living in a monastery with an abbot, we only have one way to do that in the lives that we're going to return to come Sunday. And just as in the severest Zen monastery, expression is just what Dogen says it is in that context. In other words, there has to be understanding, there has to be practice and manifestation appropriate to the time, place, circumstance, and person, and there has to be verification in relationship. So, how will you express yourself? Can you act? Can you activate? Whether you're in a monastery or in the city? Can you express yourself with your partners, with your kids, with the people at work? And by the way, you know, you don't get away with, well, yeah, everything I do is expression, everything I do is Zen. It has to be verified. You know, you get into some stupid fight with your wife when, as soon as you get home, maybe about because she's not Zen enough for you. And she says, get lost, creep. That's not verification. If the house is dirty, if the bed's unmade, if the children don't feel loved, that's not verification. So, far from withdrawing from practice as the session draws to a close, it just goes on and on and on and on and on in different forms. Constantly practicing, constantly manifesting our understanding, constantly having that understanding verified. That is the way we express ourselves in this practice. That is the expression of our lives. That is the expression of our Buddha nature. Please, don't hold back from this moment. Body and mind have dropped away. Sentient beings.